I'm going to read this to you today in the Jordan translation, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. And men, I want you to pay attention to everything. Teenage guys, I want you to pay attention to everything that we're talking about today. Love is not envious, nor does it strut and brag. It does not act up, nor try to get things for itself. It pitches no tantrums. It keeps no books on insults or injury. Hey, Jimmy, if you're in here right now, would you go mute the vocal mics real quick? Thanks, sir. Thanks, bud. Keep no books or insults or injuries. Sees no fun in wickedness, but rejoices when truth prevails. Everyone say that. Rejoices when truth prevails. Love is all embracing. It's all trusting. It's all hoping. It's all enduring. Love never quits. Say that with me. Love never quits. Okay, now, I like the Jordan's translation right here because this isn't like the Michael Jordan translation, just, you know, for something. This is just the Jordan translation. It says, love is all embracing. What that means is love is always looking to include everyone in its embrace. Look at your neighbor and say, that includes you too. You don't deserve it, but it includes you. Okay, so in the middle of it all, love embraces everything. We had a great testimony. We've had some great testimonies coming out on Thursdays. We had a wonderful testimony of a woman healed of COPD and the lung condition. That was so powerful. Thank you for sharing that testimony. We had another testimony. Yeah, give the Lord some praise for that. That's just amazing. Medically verified, by the way. Not a feeling, medically verified. And we had a wonderful testimony on Thursday night of a dear sister here in the back. She said, I had been struggling with so many different things in my body, you know, and she goes, but I've been listening to what we've been talking about and teaching on Sundays, and I chose to forgive this week. And she said, and when I chose to forgive, my blood pressure got under control. My diabetes got under control. Everything about that was out of whack changed and got under control as soon as I chose to forgive and let go of the bitterness. The doctor told me that. It's not a feeling. The doctor told me everything is under control now. Somebody say amen. So it's just like, I want you to understand, when we apply the word of God to our life, everything that's out of whack comes back into alignment. Okay. Look at your neighbor and say, when you choose to love, the body follows. All right. So say it again. Say, look at your neighbor and say, I include you in my love. All right. And this is a great thing. We get accused of this a lot as believers and men. This really starts. There's something incredible about moms. All the moms in here say amen. All right. So it's just like there's something you're incredible anyway, but it's just like there's something incredible about a mom's love. A mom even when the mom is mad at all of the kids, she still includes them in everything. Even when mom's mad, all the boys, all the girls, they want to be close to mom. It's like being close to mom it's better not being close to her. If she's mad, I can take it, but it's better to be close to her even when she's upset than not with her at all. There's something beautiful about what a mom does in a family and what a mom does in the house. But a dad, guys, listen to this. A dad sets the tone for the entire house. A dad wraps his arms around the entire family. It's like, no matter what, I'm not letting go. You're always going to be protected. You're always going to be loved. You're always going to be safe. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect, but when things do go wrong, I got you. I'm here. I'm not talking to you, Siri. I am not letting go. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not letting go of you. Because love is all embracing. Okay? And I want to encourage you to read this chapter, first, whatever translation you're in, read it and apply it to your life. Love, say it with me, love, God's love is the secret to success. There's a great quote from Kenneth Hagin, and he says this, I've decided I'm going to walk in love whether anyone else does or not. Look at your neighbors. I'm going to walk in love, even if you don't. Say it with me again. Look at your neighbor on the other side. So I'm going to walk in love, even if you don't. You know, some of you husbands and wives, you can really take a dig right now because you're in church. You know, they can't yell at you. It's like, I'm going to walk in love, even if you don't. All right. All right. I don't know who said this, but this was a great quote too. He who refuses to forgive burns the bridge over which he himself must pass. I'm going to read that again. I don't know who wrote it, but I saw it. I loved it. He who refuses to forgive burns the bridge over which he himself must pass. fathers, sons, moms, daughters, you have to learn how to walk in love and forgive if you are going to walk in the fullness of God. One of the great quotes, if you read 1 John and 2 John, even in 3rd, I mean, if you read 1st and 2nd John, you see the emphasis over and over on the writer, on the Holy Spirit's desire that we discover and experience the God kind of love. If you don't experience it, you cannot give it out. Okay, say it with me. Say, if I don't experience it, I cannot give it out. And guess what, guys? You are the only person who can determine whether you are going to experience God's love. Right. Sons, teenagers, you need to learn this now at a young age to receive God's love so that you can give it to your future wife, so that you can give it to your future children, so that you can give it to your future brothers and sisters. And hey, guys, listen to me on this. You need this for your mother-in-law. You got to start training now. All right. You need to learn. I'm going to love my mother-in-law no matter what she does to me all the days of my life. And your wife is going to need, and you know, ladies, you need to start planning now. I'm going to love my father-in-law and I'm going to love my mother-in-law too. All of this is important. You have to start learning to receive. There was a lot of things I was taught as a young man, as a teenager. I was taught how to pray. I was taught how to memorize scripture. I was taught what not to do. You ever remember that growing up? We were taught what not to do. We weren't taught what to do, though. In most situations, we were told, don't do this. So as we were growing up, I know what not to do. I don't really know what to do now. What do I do now? We grew up and we realized we got to figure this out real quick. And I was the same way. I grew up knowing about God, what to pray, what to stay away from, everything else. But one thing I was never taught, and it's because it's a general assumption, I was never taught how to receive God's love. One of the great things about the Toronto outpouring is it taught adults how, not how just to love again, but to receive love for the very first time. And that's why it went all over the world, because everyone was looking for God's love. And when they came to this place in Toronto, it started in a little sanctuary, could maybe hold 150 to 200 people, not much bigger than the one we want to build behind us. Somebody say amen. But everyone who came there learned how to receive God's love, and it completely wrecked and changed their lives. Once you learn who you are in Christ, that'll completely transform your life. But when you learn how to receive God's love, that'll wreck your life in the most beautiful way. It keeps your heart innocent and childlike. Look at your neighbor again and say, you need to receive God's love. All right. Some of you are like, oh, I do receive his love. And no, you don't. Your face says that you don't. Your body says that you don't. Your actions and words definitely say. So a lot of you need to learn how to receive love all over again. Okay. Nobody and no situation is worth holding up the blessing of God in your life by choosing to love and choosing to harbor unforgiveness. Look at your neighbor and say, nobody's worth that. Say, look at that. Say, you're not worth my blessing. All right. You're not worth my blessing. Unforgiveness literally holds you back from your destiny, and no one is worth that because Jesus paid too high a price. Amen. All right. Did you know? Look at your neighbor and say this. Say, did you know? The same radical kind of forgiveness that God gives you is the same kind of radical forgiveness he expects you to give to others. Now, it sounds good to say that, but come on, let's just be honest. The first thing out of our mouths when someone screws up, maybe not the first time, but around the third or fourth time, we're keeping count now. Come on, you all know that you don't act so holy. I mean, you literally do. Some of you are like, before even the first time, you were that suspicious. So you didn't give anyone a chance to screw up even once. But after three or four times, especially in family, how many of you know family screws up a lot, okay? Wow, look at all those kids just raise their hands real fast. All right, so, and they're sitting next to their parents. So that's all right. So unforgiveness can really mess up a family, and families can really screw up. And after about the third or fourth time, we really begin to get self-conscious about the things that are happening to us. And our forgiveness then starts to get a little tempered. You see what I'm saying? We begin to say things at that point like, well, if you're going to remain in my good graces, if you're going to continue to be loved by me, then you're going to have to bop, 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 bop. We begin to give love ultimatums, and suddenly we forget the same radical love that God forgave us as soon as we came to him for forgiveness. How many of you have gone to the Lord when you've really screwed up before? Okay? How many of you know as soon as you come to him, he's not saying the things that we say to each other. He's saying, I forgive you. Now go and sin no more. I'm going to throw this into the sea of forgetfulness here. I'm going to set you back up. The blood has cleansed you. There's nothing you can do to make me hate you. I love you. And because you've entered into my covenant and asked for forgiveness, I'm here. Okay? Why are we so different? Why are we saying, I'll only forgive you if? I'll only love you if? I'll only restore you if? Guys, the same radical forgiveness that he gives us every time is the same radical forgiveness he expects us to give without hindrance, without fault, the next time someone needs it from us. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, without hesitation. You know, there's a tradition in the Middle East, some of you, it's not as popular today, but among some people, they still carry it true. It doesn't matter what religion you are, but in the East, in the Middle East particularly, in you know, Iran, Iraq, Middle Eastern countries, Arabia, Israel, different things like that. Whenever you ask someone, I need hospitality, I want to be your guest, it is a custom that they show you hospitality immediately and without hesitation. Even if they don't like you, the fact that you said, I'm asking to be your guest, I'm asking to, they instantly give it. Literally. Some of them don't give it with the right mindset. And this is where we can take it even farther as children of God who have the Spirit of God literally living inside of us. When people ask us for forgiveness, when people ask us for hospitality, we give without hesitation. I forgive you. What if I turned the other cheek and I got burned? Well, God will heal that burned skin and give you new skin. Start turning the other cheek again. Amen? Amen. Look at your neighbor again and say, without hesitation. Okay? In Luke chapter 17, we alluded to this last week, verses 1 through 6. Jesus tells us to forgive 70 times 7, 490 times in a day. It could be that God is pretty serious about forgiveness. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say that with me. He say, I think he's pretty serious about forgiveness. Now, has nothing to do with the message, but just the revelation of that verse, 70 times 7. A lot of people don't even realize, where did he pull that number out? Let me give you a little sidebar here that'll rock your world, all right? In the book of Daniel, the angel told Daniel it'll be 70 sevens before the Messiah comes. He's literally, when he talks about the 70 weeks, he's talking about the coming of Christ. And if you look to the day between that prophecy and Daniel to when Jesus was born, it was right at 490 years on the dot. When Jesus said this, they knew exactly what he was talking about when he said this part, because he was referring to Daniel's prophecy. Daniel, the angel said, Israel's got 490 years to get ready for my coming, because in 490 years, I'm coming. 490 years later, literally, Jesus shows up and he's telling people, as patient as I was with Israel, I gave you 490 years to get straight. I want you to be that caring to everyone else. If it took 490 years just to get a remnant ready, I want you to be just as patient and give everyone every opportunity to be loved and forgiven and restored by you. Look at your neighbor and say, that's pretty powerful. All right. In Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3, we see that God forgives. He says, literally, let's turn there really quickly. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3. Basically, it says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget all. No, I'm sorry, not forget. Forget not all his benefits, for he has forgiven you. Actually, I think that might be the wrong text. Is that right one? Yeah. Who forgives your sins and heals all your disease. Everyone say, he forgives. And he heals. Now, in Hebrews chapter, this is pretty powerful. Write this one down. You'll like this later. I encourage you to read it. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, it actually says, the Lord will remember your sins no more. You know what that means? He forgets about it. Say it with me. Say, he remembers my sin no more. So you could say this. He forgives and he forgets. Look at your neighbor and say, I forgive you. I'm working on the forgetting part. Some people say, well, I have to forgive you, but I don't have to forget about it. If God forgets about it, and he's our Father, why should we be any different? Amen. That's how powerful forgiveness is. Forgiveness will make you even not remember why you had a problem in the first place. I talked with someone recently, and there's been a restoration in our relationship. And the person says, I don't even remember why we had all those years of frustration and everything else. Why do you think that was? And for a split second, I could have said, well, this is the reason why. And I made a choice. No, God forgot about it. I'm not the accuser of the brethren. The enemy is. I'm not going to bring up the past. I'm going to focus on the healing that forgiveness has gotten us to where we're at right now. And I'm going to move forward. Somebody say amen. And I've already chosen, if you do it again, I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to forget about it so that we can stay in sync. If you choose to forget about it, you can forget about restoration. Not until you remember it no more can you be restored. How can you be restored if you're constantly bringing up why it happened in the first place? Husbands and wives, this is a big one. Whenever you're going through stuff, don't bring up the past. If you have forgiven it, let it go. Focus on what's going on now. Well, you remember what you did 5 years ago? What did I do? I've done so much, I don't even know at this point. Well, let me tell you what you did. And then instantly, the enemy doesn't need to accuse you at that point. You got a spouse who will do it for him. Teenagers, when your mom and dad do something that you don't like and you bring it up, well, mom and dad, the only reason I do this is because blah, 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 blah. Hey, teenagers, you have no idea how much your parents have forgiven you of. Sons and daughters, your parents started forgiving you the day you came out. They're ahead of you in this record. Give the parents the same forgiveness that you expect them to forgive you. Give them the same forgetfulness that they're forgetting you every year when they still celebrate your birthday and you still get presents under the tree at Christmas when you still get blessed and everything else about it. Give your parents the same thing. Remember to honor them because they're always looking for ways to honor you. You're sowing good seed in the ground. If you choose not to forgive and not honor, guess what? You're going to reap that in your kids one day. The Lord is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he also reaps. Say this, if I want forgiveness, I got to sow forgiveness. If I want people to forget what I've done, I got to forget what they've done. And guess what? Hey, that's not a natural thing. It took me in this one relationship several years to forget. And then one day, I realized the Holy Spirit just touched me and I came to myself and I said, what they did is not worth not having a future with them. I choose to forget. And that doesn't make me weak. That makes me strong. Look at your neighbor and say, choosing to forgive, choosing to forget doesn't make me weak. It makes me strong. And it's for your benefit. All right. Listen to this. Did you know that the Greek word for forgive includes these words in its definition? To forsake, to leave, to let go, to remit. It denotes completion and the fact that it is over. This is what Jesus meant when he said on the cross, it is finished. All is forgiven. When all of the sin of the world was imputed unto him on that cross, a sinless man had all unrighteousness and sin imputed to him at the cross. And once he had taken it all in, he says, now me and the Father can forgive everything. It's finished. Look at your neighbor and say, it's finished. If he can hang on the cross and say, it's finished, you can forgive someone for being rude to you on social media. If he can forgive you on the cross, you can forgive your spouse for getting you the birthday present you didn't ask for or for getting your anniversary. Yes. Kids, you can forgive your parents for not getting you the same color shoes you want because they're out of trending hip or whatever that is. Wives, you can forgive your husbands for leaving dishes in the sink and forgetting to take out the trash. That's me. Oh, Heather's taken it easy on me this weekend because on Friday night, we left a bunch of popcorn bowls out on the counter. And Heather has made it very known, I do not ever want to wake up and come out to anything in the sink or the counter because it stresses me out. And she was taking it easy on us because it's Father's Day weekend. So she took a picture and sent me, hey, honey, the popcorn bowls. I was like, say no more. I hear everything that you're about to say in my mind, in your mind. Thank you in advance for forgiving me and forgetting that it ever happened. And that is the Holy Spirit saying that to you. Hey, this is coming. Choose to forgive. Choose to forget now. Look at your neighbor and say, I choose to forget. I choose to forgive now. When we refuse to forgive, we destroy the bridge that we have to cross over to reach our blessing in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness is always connected to receiving God's best blessings. Everyone say his best blessings. Joseph forgave his brothers and reached his destiny. Satan meant it for evil, but God will always turn it around for the good. Somebody say amen. Forgiveness is always going to be a turning point in your life, and it's important to remember that you are equipped to enter into that turning point on a daily basis. I'm having you repeat a lot today because I want it to get into your spirit so you can meditate on it during the week. Say it with me. Say, forgiveness is a turning point that I can enter into on a daily basis. You got to understand, this is not natural. This is supernatural. This is because the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you. Not everyone gets to do this on a daily basis, but you get to do it on a daily basis and bring other people in to what you are doing on a daily basis. You get to break through on a daily basis. You get to shout on a daily basis. You get to dance on a daily basis. You get to get happy on a daily basis. You get breakthrough. You get every one of God's blessings on a daily basis when you enter into forgiveness. And when you choose not to, you burn the very bridge that God gave you in the Holy Ghost to get you where you're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not going to burn that bridge anymore. Okay? Praying for those who have hurt you is the beginning of choosing to forgive. One of the best ways to forgive someone is to start praying for them first. And Jesus said in Mark 11:25, when you do stand praying, if you have aught against anyone, forgive them. I encourage all of you, don't even try to forgive people if you're not praying. Pray and forgive while you are praying, because there is supernatural strength in that act. When you pray, when you begin to pray for the person who hurt you, when you begin to pray for the family that deserted you, when you get to pray for the children that have become prodigals, when you begin to pray for the spouse that doesn't even deserve a second chance, when you begin to pray for the friends that just messed up one too many times, you are entering into the beginning of breakthrough, because you, now that I'm praying, I can forgive. And inside of this beautiful shelter of the Most High, God will hide me under his wings. God will protect me under his wings because I'm entering into forgiveness. Look at your neighbor and say, when I pray for you, that's when I forgive. All right. Jesus tells us to love our enemies and to bless those that curse us, do good to people who hate us, pray for people that despitefully use us and persecute us, so that we can be the children of God. There is no sonship without forgiveness. There is no sonship without love. I'm not telling you have to be best friends and open up your life to everyone. I'm saying you have to forgive everyone. Remember that. All right? Look at your neighbor and say, we may not be BFFs. But I'm walking in love towards you, all right? Remember what I said last week? You may be able to whip a skunk, but you may not want to. Unforgiveness has a smell that defiles the atmosphere in every area of your life. You can tell when someone's ripe and stank because they are walking in unforgiveness. I'm not talking about deodorant. Everyone can use deodorant. And everyone, thank God, should use deodorant, all right? Look at your neighbor and say, he's preaching to you right now. Okay, so in the middle of that, unforgiveness is a stink in the atmosphere that you discern and pick up even if you're not a Christian, even if you don't have the Holy Ghost, God still gave you a conscience, and he gave you five senses, and he gave you the ability to know when something is off and something is on. And when you get around people who harbor unforgiveness and bitterness, there's just something that is stank all over them, and you're like, I can't put my finger on it, but something is off about that person. How many of you have ever been around someone who doesn't forgive? They're miserable, aren't they? You don't want to be around them, do you? How many of you have ever been around someone who forgives all the time? They're fun to be around, aren't they? You can't upset them. You can't tick them off. You can't offend them. You're just like, man, I could hit you in the head right now and you'd still be in a good mood. Yep. Because I love you. There you go. Because I love you. If you hit me, though, we're going to fight. And then I'm still going to love you. All right. me and Judah were slap fighting in the kitchen. You know what slap fighting is? You just kind of play around with an open hand. And for some reason, he's really good with a closed fist, but man, he got really intimidated with the open hand. And it might have been just because I was a lot more aggressive because I didn't have a clenched fist. I was just like tagging him nonstop. Pow, 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 pow. He's like, Dad, you just lit me up four times. Chill out, bro. I was like, I'm sorry, son. I love you. Forgive me. And that's how easy it is. You can fight with someone and just forgive them. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. All right. Look at your neighbor and say, I forgive you, but I will fight you. All right, there we go. All right, so in the middle of it all, I want you to hear me on this, all right? Forgiveness enables us to escape the stink that the enemy is always trying to put on you, all right? And I want you to hear me on this. This is something I want you to write down. Keep it in your notes. Kenneth Hagin said this, and it's so true. Anytime you feel mistreated, abused, anytime you feel unappreciated, you know that the enemy is working on you. And you're like, but what if it's true? It's not true because you're walking in love and love doesn't get offended. Love does not seek its own. If you're not seeking your own, you got nothing to be unappreciated about anyway. God appreciates me and that's enough. And this is not a self-help. There used to be this skit on Saturday Night Live. He would look in the mirror and be like, I look good. I feel good about, y'all remember this? I feel good about myself and doggone it, people like me. That's not what I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about I live for one man's approval and one man's approval only. And any time the enemy comes to remind you, because that's what he does, he reminds you of the past, he reminds you of what people say, he reminds you of what people do, and all he does is try to stir up anger and resentment on the inside of you. And every time those feelings of resentment and anger towards other people not appreciating how awesome the ground is that you walk on, anytime that happens, you need to mark it down. This is the enemy. This is not God. This is not me. This is not even my discernment. This is the enemy. And I got to rebuke him and take that thought captive right now in the name of Jesus. Say it with me. Say, anytime I feel mistreated, the enemy is working on me. Okay. He's a master of offense. He is. And when I say offense, I don't mean offensive offense. Okay. He is the accuser of the brethren. And when we judge and accuse others, we are allowing Satan to use our mouth. Say that with me. Say, when I accuse others, when I judge others, I am allowing Satan to use my mouth. Look at your neighbor and say, that's no bueno. All right. That's not good. All right. And I'm funny today. All right. I'm feeling myself right now. All right. Here we go. Unforgiveness. I really am. It's Father's Day. I'm feeling the Father's Day. So, unforgiveness, guys, is the greatest enemy to your faith. Everything that we do in life has to work on faith, and forgiveness is the only thing that will hinder your faith. Say it with me. Unforgiveness will hinder my faith, okay? It hinders your prayer life. It limits blessings. It stops spiritual growth. It opens the door to the devil and can cause sickness and disease and, in some cases, even premature death. Say this with me. Unforgiveness is a killer. Okay. Holding on to grudges will actually shorten your lifespan physically. It destroys everything about the way God created your body to work. When you allow the enemy to use your mouth, you are shortening your lifespan because you are operating in a manner that God did not create you to operate in. In Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, it says, do not give the devil a foothold to operate in your life. An allegory for that is, how many of you've ever seen like a pop-up business? They come set up a kiosk in the mall. They're not there one day, but the next day they're all there, right? When you harbor unforgiveness and bitterness, you are allowing the enemy to come set up a kiosk in your life. It wasn't there yesterday, but because you chose not to forgive, he set up shop in you, and he has a base of operations on the inside of you right now. And you cannot allow that. Look at your neighbor and say, I can't allow it. Okay? Look at your neighbor and say, you're not worth it. All right? Remember, in Mark 11:25, Jesus tells that if we have aught against anyone, we are praying to forgive them. It's wrong to hold on to forgiveness against anyone else or even yourself. Say, it's wrong for me not to forgive myself. Okay? If Jesus says you're forgiven, you need to believe it, receive it, and expect God's blessings in your life. It doesn't take 10 years to forgive. You can do it in 10 seconds. But when you choose not to forgive, it can wreck 10 years of your life. You must stand up on your feet with me today. Gus, would you come back on up here real quick? You know, let me share a quick testimony from my life. There is a relationship that I lost several years ago. Someone real, you know, I care about this person. They had done some things to hurt me. And I just chose at that point the best way to be in relationship was to kind of love them from a distance. How many of you have ever been in that position before? But then that distance became 1 year, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years. 8 years, and that the time goes forward and you don't even realize it. And then one day you realize, I missed out on 10 years of a beautiful relationship that should enrich my life because I didn't know how to move forward. I said I forgave, but the truth is, I would get triggered whenever I would come near this person. It would bring up pain from the past. Until one day, I don't know how to explain it. The Holy Spirit just said, hey, you're done with this now. I'm healing you of that unforgiveness, but you need to give it to me so I can heal you. And all of a sudden, the triggers were gone. I wasn't afraid anymore to be around this person. I'm aware of what happened, but I was free from the torment that I was living in because of my own shortcomings and walking in the fullness of God. Ministering every week, loving my family, building my family, success everywhere, but in this one area. And I look back over that time and I was like, man, that's 10 years I'm never going to get back. So I prayed and I said, Lord, I pray that you will give me a double portion of the next 10 years that I missed out of the 10 years before, because I'm going to go out of my way to build everything I can back with this relationship. And everything I was afraid of, how am I going to forgive? How am I going to talk? How am I going to move forward and build new memories? All of a sudden, all the fears, one by one, just started dropping. Little by little, just started dropping. And the fear was replaced by love. The past was replaced by forgiveness. And the future was replaced by boldness and hope. In saying, you know what? The glory of the latter house can be greater than that of the first house. Amen. The goodness that I had at one time, I can have double this time because that's the way God works. You know, a lot of people, when you look at Joseph's life, you think Joseph lost out on all those years with his father, Jacob. And Jacob loved Joseph more than any of the others because of how much he loved Joseph's mother. But the last years that Joseph had with his father, Jacob, were even greater than anything else he could have had. And when Jacob's time was to go to sleep, to be with the Lord, the Bible says, in that day and age, the fathers would only bless their children. And they would only reserve the best blessing for the oldest, which Joseph was not. He was the second to the youngest. But instead of Joseph asking for his father's blessing, he said, I'm going to ask you, Dad, to bless my sons, your grandchildren. Which is something that you do not see up until this point in that patriarchy of the word. That's how much faith Joseph had. I believe God's given you enough even to bless your grandkids, Dad. And the Bible says that Jacob leaned on his staff and blessed Joseph's sons. There's a tradition that goes around that as a young man, you were at a point, it was a rite of passage, you were given a staff that represented authority and strength, and you would use that staff for the rest of your life. And it was a good staff. It wasn't like a walking stick. I mean, it was a staff. It was a beautiful thing to hand on. And anytime something would happen in your life, they would start at the bottom of the staff and they would make an inscription as a memorial. This happened. And people believe that the reason why Jacob leaned on the top of the staff is because that was the only space left he had left on the staff that did not have a memorial. So when he leaned on the top of his staff, he did it in faith, saying, Father, I've got just enough room. Jehovah, Rapha, Jireh, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and now God of Jacob. I've got a little bit of time left on the earth, and I've got enough faith that even with this little bit of time, you're going to bless my grandsons in a way that's going to carry on through the generations. And I want you to know there is enough time left in your life to step out in faith and forgiveness. It doesn't matter how old or young you are. There's enough time left to see God do something amazing in your lives, in your families, and in your relationship. If you will choose to lean on what God has given you, something better than anyone's ever had, the blood of Jesus, the right hand of the Father, where we are raised and seated. The Bible says we are invited to be partakers in the divine nature of Christ and Peter. And God's inviting you to become a Jacob to everyone around you. Lean on what you have left in Christ and bless everyone around you. Amen. Come on, bow your heads with me today. Let's pray.